أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. أما بعد، فإن أفضل الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Dear brothers and sisters, I want to talk today about an interesting topic which might be slightly controversial. There's a question is, why are Muslims so different today? Why do they have all these problems? Why are they continuously squibbling about different aspects? Is it because that we are becoming more ignorant? Or is it because we don't understand our religion? Unfortunately, the answer is this. Yes, we do not understand our religion well. We do not spend enough time to try and study our religion and understand it. If we look around us and see how people will argue about different madhahib, you know, I'm Hanafi, I'm Sunni, I'm Shafi'i, I'm Shia, I'm whatever it is. And it will go to the extremes, to the extent of sometimes even fighting. And if you ask any of these people who have these serious problems, what is the definition even of a madhab? When you say, I'm Hanafi or I'm Shafi'i, you're following a madhab. What is a madhab? Most people will not know the answer. In definition of a madhab in Arabic, إِذَا نَظْرَ الْإِنسَانِ فَرَأَى فِي الْأَمْرِ شَيْئًا فَكَأَنَّ عَقْلَهُ ذَهَبْ فِي فَهْمِ. So if somebody thinks about something and his brain leads him somewhere, it's gone in this direction. And this is a madhab. So a madhab is a route of thinking. It is the way somebody, a scholar, has read, studied, and understood and interpreted an aspect of the Quran. So all the madhab are actually interpretations by scholars. And all madhahib, as a matter of fact, all the scholars who have made up all these madhahib had great respect to each other. And all the madhahib should respect each other. Their difference in opinion. What's happened is because of ignorance, we have become biased to our opinions, and we have become intolerant and not willing to accept other people's opinions. Whereas if we look at somebody like al-Shafi'i, Imam al-Shafi'i, who did the madhab al-Shafi'i, he used to say, رأيي صواب يحتمل الخطأ ورأي غيري خطأ يحتمل الصواب. My opinion is the correct opinion, but I could be mistaken. My opponent's opinion is probably the wrong opinion, but he could be right. So he's open-minded. He is willing to understand. He is willing to argue. And he's willing, as a matter of fact, Imam al-Shafi'i has changed his fatwa a lot when he moved from, you know, he used to live in Iraq. And he had a whole book of fatawi. And then when he moved to Egypt, he changed a lot of his fatawi. Not because the other ones were wrong. It is because there are several facets, several aspects to it. Unfortunately, the followers of these madhahib have gone to the other extreme, to the extent that on some occasions, the followers of Imam al-Shafi'i will not pray after an Imam who is Hanafi. Because Imam al-Shafi'i said that shaking hands with a woman foreign woman does not ينقض الوضوء, does not damage the ablution. Whereas الحنفي, sorry, الإمام الشافعي says that it does. The Hanafi, Imam Hanafi, Ibn Hanifa said, no, it does not. So they went to the extreme of saying, fine, anybody who follows the Madhab al-Shafi'i might have shaken hands with a foreign woman, so his wudu is not right, so his salah is not right, so he would not follow him in prayer. This is absolute stupidity. This is not the essence of our religion. We should all be together, especially in this day and age where there's a lot of fight against Islam. We should be united. We should not allow these differences to separate us, especially when there are differences out of ignorance, not out of real knowledge. There's an ayah in the Quran which I'm sure you all read when you read the Quran, and if we just take a minute and think about it, the ayah says, وَلَنْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ سَبِيلًا. Allah will not allow the non-believers to be in control of the believers. And look around us today and see what's happening in the world. The Muslims are the weakest. They are being controlled by everybody. If we put the two together and put the ayah, it will lead us to the conclusion, the obvious conclusion, that the Muslims nowadays, unfortunately, are not followers of real Islam. The Muslims don't really know the religion today. The Muslims do not really follow things that they should be following so that Allah will make them, will give them the upper hand. Let me give you some examples of how knowledge is so wide and it is so beautiful. Our religion is so beautiful, but it needs some time to reflect and understand. We all read in the Quran, وَإِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَاغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. This is the ayah that explains to us how do we do wudu. And this, in this ayah, Allah tells us very clearly, wash your hands up to the elbows. So He specified exactly how far you need to wash your hands. And wash your faces. And then rub your heads. And specifically here, unfortunately, you need a bit of knowledge in Arabic to see the difference, where it says, وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ. B, this letter, makes all the difference in the world. وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. Because it opens things to interpretation. Now, the question that we need to ask, was God unable, حَاشَ لِلَّهِ, to make it very specific? Of course not, because He made it very specific where you wash your hands. He said very specifically, wash your hands up to the elbows, wash your feet up to the ankles. But when it came to the head, He left it open to interpretations. And so different madahib has interpreted differently. Because what is the definition of al-wajh? In Arabic, al-wajh is anything that faces you. So anything that's in front of you. So all this is al-wajh. Are the ears part of the wajh or part of the head, open to interpretation? And this is for a good reason. Allah has left all these for us and for the scholars to have some differences. And I'll come to in a minute to try and explain why Allah has wanted us to have these differences in opinion and why He's stimulating us to think about it. Let me just give you an example to make this point clearer. Supposing in this hall, we had four people. One person took a picture from the door. The other person was stood up there and took a picture. I took a picture and one of the sisters took a picture. If we look at the four pictures, they will look different. But what are they all pictures of? It's the same hall. It's the same thing in the Quran. There are several facets to a truth, and they are all correct. None of them is wrong. It's just different angles, different facets, different way of looking at things. So, why is this happening? And if we think there are so many reasons that the scholars have explained to us, One of them, for example, is it is a chance, it's an opportunity for scholars and for people to look and study. من اجتهد وأخطأ فله أجر ومن اجتهد وأصاب فله أجران. Whoever has made the effort to study a point and got it wrong, he will still be rewarded. And if he gets it right, he will be rewarded twice. So he's opening the door for us to study. We are the ummah of Iqra. We are the ummah of studying. We are the ummah of thinking. Allah stimulates our thinking and our studying. And as I said, truth has several facets. We must not be dogmatic. It's not either right or wrong. There are many shades. It's not either this is right or this is wrong. There are things that are clear, quite clear. And Allah has made it very, very clear about what is halal and what is haram, for example. But there are certain aspects that He has left open to interpretation. This is to promote thinking, to promote research, to promote intellectuality. Islam is a religion of intellectuality and thinking. It leads to richness of thought. Allah says, وَفَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَتَّخِذْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًا. We have made you on top of each other, both in money but also in knowledge. Some people are more knowledgeable, some people are more intelligent, some people are scholars, so that we need each other. We're not all the same. So, there are two ayahs in the Quran which we read every day, but if we just think about them carefully, it will probably explain the situation much more clearly. And it will show us how we have misunderstood our religion and how this has led to struggle and fighting. The ayat are, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. We all know this ayah. You ask anybody about أَمْرِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهْيَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, you say, yes, in the Quran there is an ayah that says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. The question is, who are these people who are supposed to do أَمْرِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهْيَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ? They are the people who have the knowledge. Not every Tom, Dick and Harry. You can only do Amr bil Ma'roof if you know what is Ma'roof. And you can only do Amr bil Nahy al-Munkar if you know what it is. However, we always read this ayah and stop. But let's move on to the next ayah in the same surah. The next ayah immediately says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. So the rest of this ayah is, do not be like those who came before you, who had differences, and this led to infighting. And these have what? لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. So, الْأَمْرِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ is great. And those who have got the ability to do it are المفلحون. المفلحون are the successful ones. But if this leads to infighting, this leads to differences, this is wrong, and this is according to the Quran, but we only selectively read ayahs in the Quran without reading it properly. So, Umar ibn al-Khattab said one very interesting thing. He said, لَنْ يَبْلُغَ الرَّجُلْ دَرَجَةً مِنَ الْعِلْمِ حَتَّى يَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْقُرْآنِ وُجُوهًا. Umar ibn al-Khattab said, a man will not really be knowledgeable until he understands that Quran has got several facets. There are several aspects. It's open to interpretation. Certain parts, of course, of it is open to interpretations. And it needs to be studying. And the Quran also tells us, وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. If you have differences, if you can't agree, فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Go back to what Allah has said. وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِتُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ. So, if you take it back to the Rasul, to the Prophet ﷺ, to the Sunnah, to the Ahadith, and to the knowledgeable ones who are able to deduct, who are able to think. So, it is clear the Quran tells us the way. It's open to thinking, it's open to interpretation, but you must have the knowledge. If you don't have the knowledge, then go and ask the people who have the knowledge. Don't try to interpret it. One of the causes of the problems we have today, youngsters going out there, killing priests, blowing up themselves is because they try to interpret the Quran without knowledge, or they go to the people who do not have the knowledge, who interpret it in the wrong way to them. So it is due to misunderstanding of the Quran. We might have time just for another simple example. For example, al-qabd was-sad. When people are praying, somebody stands with the arms there, somebody stands with the arms there, somebody stands with the arms on their side. And you will see people arguing forever. Oh, that's not the way to pray. You must put your hands up here. No, it's up there. No, it's down there. Do these people who argue understand what are the principles? There is something called shart, which is a prerequisite for salah, and rukn, without which salah would not be accepted, would be wrong. The way you stand is called the hay'ah, it's a shape. It doesn't affect your prayer. If you pray with your arms across your chest, across your tummy, on your side, it doesn't affect your prayer. It is hay'ah to salah. But people go and argue about these things without even understanding the basics. These differences are a mercy. Let's take, for example, the example we spoke about earlier about wudu. Now, because of the way it's been put, when we do wudu, some of the scholars said that you have to rub all your head with water. And some have said, no, it's only part of it, going even to the extreme of 3 hairs only. And people will argue about that. Both opinions are correct. Think about it this way. When you are young and you've got a head full of hair, when you do your wudu, rub your hair, rub your head completely, because every hair that you rub, you will take a hasana. Now, if you become older and you lose your hair and you're bald, what do? You go and rub your bald head, or do you just rub the sides where there are hairs, or if it's very cold? So it's open to interpretation. It is rahmah, it's for mercy. However, this does not mean that we should go and read the different madahir and take the easiest of all of them. That's not the idea. If anything at all, if you want to be a real good Muslim, you should try to take the hardest, or at least, if you don't know, just follow one madhab. This would be good enough. Unfortunately, some of us, most of us, don't even know what the madhab says. They just follow other people blindly without understanding. And there are so many other examples which we might be able to talk about in some other occasion. But please, 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 we need to be knowledgeable. We need to spend some time reading. I'm sure that we all spend a lot of time reading about the specs of the new iPhone, or the specs of the new car model, of the specs or whatever. How much time do we spend trying to understand our religion and trying to see what the scholars really tell us so that we can follow the correct religion? أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الملك الحق المبين وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. So as I was saying, we need two things. We need to be knowledgeable. If we don't have the time or the ability to read and get educated, then at least we need to follow the right people who are knowledgeable. We mustn't allow people to mislead us. Very important. But more importantly, we must not argue against ourselves, between each other. We must be open-minded. The more knowledge you have, the more open-minded you will become. Let me give you a quick story about Imam Malik, who is the founder of al-Maliki, al-Madhab al-Maliki, and Imam Abu Hanifa, who is the founder of al-Madhab al-Hanafi. Imam Malik was he used to live in Medina, and he was the Imam of Medina. And Imam Malik, according to his teachings or understanding, the Qunut, which is where we do dua and salah, he used to do during the Fajr prayer, during the morning prayer, and he would do it before ruku'. And this is his madhab, this is what he taught his followers. Imam Abu Hanifa, on the other hand, believed that the qunut we do it in at night time in rak'at al-witr, when we do the witr. And he used to do it after ruku'ah. So you do the ruku'ah, stand up, and then do the qunut, where he stands up and does the dua. When Imam Abu Hanifa went to Medina for Hajj, he visited Imam Malik. Imam Malik, although he was the older, invited Abu Hanifa to lead the prayer, and Abu Hanifa refused. He said, "No, I would like to pray behind you." So Imam Malik led the prayer in the Fajr and did not do qunut, although this is what his teaching was. And after the prayer was over, he did not do sajd sahw, which means that he left the qunut intentionally. And Imam Abu Hanifa said, "You know, why didn't you do the qunut? I thought, you know, this is your teaching. I would have liked you to do the qunut. I would have liked to follow you." And he said, "Hal lil fajr min qunut?" Does fajr prayer have a qunut? Just out of respect for his opinion. So this is how these people used to deal with each other. They had a lot of respect for each other. They used to respect each other's points of view, even though they have differences. And look at these, and look at us today. Look at how we are so biased to our opinions, and how we disrespect anybody who differs with us. This is, you know, I think we need to read a bit more about the history of these people, and we need to read more about these people, and how they how they used to respect each other. Another quick example: Imam Nafi. We all know about, when we read the Quran, it says عن نافع, قراءت نافع. نافع was the major reader. He was the main one who read the Quran, and all the masahif we have today is قراءت نافع. So Imam نافع, because he was the best one who knew the Quran and used to read the Quran, the Khalifa told him, "I want you to lead the prayer. You are the best one in the Quran." We know that in prayer, the one who leads the prayer should be al-aqra, the one who reads the Quran best. So he was told, "Please lead the prayers." So obviously it's a great honor. But what did he do? He went to Imam Malik and to ask his opinion. This is how they respected each other. He went to ask his opinion, "Should I lead the prayers?" And Imam Malik told him, "No, do not lead the prayers." And you might think, hang on, why is that? You know, he's the best read person. He is the one, all the masahif are written after his reading. But he had a very interesting point. He said, if anybody else leads the prayer and makes a mistake, which is possible, then you will be able to correct him. But if you lead the prayer and make a mistake in the reading, because anybody can make a mistake, nobody will dare correct you. And then it might be taken as that this is how it should be read. So do we see how these people used to think? They are people who had, you know, deep thinking about things. They had respect to each other, and their aim was always the pleasure of Allah, not the pleasure of their ego. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما وانفعنا بما علمتنا يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم ارفع مقتك وغضبك عنا يا أرحم الراحمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين ربنا أتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار وأخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واستغفروا يغفر لكم وأقم الصلاة